Ah, there you are, our beloved listener. Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma. In this episode, we talk about some wrong turns, mutinies, and the Greenland sharks. Henry encourages Orcus to stand up, and then 5 minutes later almost dies, whilst I publicly announce my obsession with Italians. Yes, all of that in just one episode, so you better buckle up and enjoy.
I guess we're fine. So, you count a stan and I start with high. Ooh, boy.
You could have started already. I could have put this in as like a cool segue.
Oh, well, okay, then high. And make sure to keep all of that in then.
All right.
Okay. Hi.
All right. Hello.
Good morning. God, I need to stop saying that. Okay. Good day, everybody.
Yes.
Welcome to our podcast, The Vagabond Dilemma, for yet another episode. And it's a quite thrilling one indeed, if I do say so myself.
Oh, really? Because for the listeners at home, today specifically, I know nothing about what Henry did, because I didn't even look up the list of what he chose. So I'm actually quite intrigued.
So, before we get into it, I will just say this last piece before, and I'll explain the rest later. This explorer is close to my heart.
Oh, really?
A very specific type of way.
Was it Joe Biden?
Is Joe Biden an explorer?
He explored the farther reaches of conservative America.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's not Joe Biden. I'll give you that spoiler.
Okay, but first, before getting into it, Henry, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I hate to bring this up again. Actually, I don't hate to bring this up, but I've been thinking about Boss Rune a lot, and I just can't shake it, Rudy.
I would be afraid to disappoint you, but the Boss Rune saga has come to an end.
I truly am in shambles after hearing this.
Well, it was delicious. The tea was delicious and vibrant, yes, and fruitful and bossy. But
truly.
So I ran out of it, and I have not bought another, like, I guess, artisan tea. So now I'm dealing with gentle lemon from Albaheim.
Gentle lemon.
But honestly, it's not even that bad because I didn't buy the, like, it's not a tea bag that I'm using. I'm still using, you know, how do you call that? One from the wild.
What, you're just going outside, taking a lemon and squeezing it into water?
Yeah, yeah. What, you don't do that?
Nah, I don't drink tea, so. Otherwise, I would also just pick rocks off the street and put it in my water. It really is that easy.
Rocks? Huh?
Huh? Just anything that's outside, really.
All right. Another saga that's continuing, though. I want to put this on the... I want this to be a thrilling thing that goes through our episodes. Italians.
Huh?
So for the listeners at home, I am on a mission, right, to infiltrate myself in the university's Italian group, let's put it that way, right? Because I have deducted that those are the most fun people from all the internationals for various different reasons, and I am already on phase B on my plan.
Which is? What's phase A, actually?
So let's phase A that. Was selecting my targets.
Okay.
And that went thrillingly. And then phase B is now, getting to know my targets. So I only am on uni at, like, what, twice a week now? Because I only do one course.
Right.
But I try to hang out with them. Some of them are twats, but, you know.
Right.
In a good way, I would say.
Okay. I don't know how you can spin that in a good way, but sure.
Well, I call everybody twats.
Right.
There's actually one specific Italian I always, like, whenever I see him, my greeting to him is like, hello, twat.
Okay, weird, but alright.
Any sagas you continuing?
If you're listening to this and you're Italian, watch your back is all I can say.
No, I love Italians is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
I love
I
you
know.
For who you are. Next time I see you, I'm gonna run through the doors, freaking singing Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao.
I don't know if that'll make him happy. I'm gonna be honest with you here.
Well, I'm gonna find a way to Italian hearts.
Well, maybe if you bake a mean pizza, you can get there.
As a non-Italian, I think they have just predisposition to not taste anything good that's not out of their country. It's yeah, just the curse of being Italian.
That's just called being judgmental, Rudy. And Italians, fuck off for that. That's that's my take of the day. Here's a bit for the intro. Italians, fuck off, alright?
I love how we started this episode. If only the... Actually, I don't know. Maybe our explorer will be Italian, Henry, huh?
Yes, I actually didn't want to say it, but that might be a hint.
Oh! All right, I'm not going to keep this or stretch this any longer. So this is the Vagabond Dilemma. We have lost explorer.
Yes.
That one of us researched. And we do a little bit of history, a little bit of points for that. And then we do a little bit of shambolic shenanigans of trying to find what happened to them.
Yes, sir. And let's get into it then. Today's explorer is not Italian. I just wanted to get you a little bit more hyped up.
That hurts.
Frankly, Italians had nothing to do with this era of explorer. Are you ready for the name?
Hit me. Hit me with it.
Henry Hudson.
Oh!
And there you go. You can guess why I picked him. It's because, well, he's my granddad.
Wait. No, wait a goddamn minute.
No, definitely not. So, our good friend, let's get into who is, well, me. Henry Hudson was born around 1565. So, this is quite long ago.
Yeah, quite. Well,
but that also puts him in the Age of Discovery, which is the heyday for explorers, I would say.
Can I say something real quick?
Can you?
I shall, if you allow me, good sir. That, for me at least, I think, like, exploring, it always seemed like a bit of a, you know, it has its own, how would I say this, disadvantages, right? But right. I always thought that exploring is like, if you're really into it, it's like a really fun thing. But nowadays you can't really, like, get the full meaning of exploring because everything, like, already on this earth, like, you know, on land has been explored already. We have drawn all the maps. Yeah. Golden Age of Exploration, imagine how fun it was back then. You're literally sailing somewhere that nobody has been or mapped before, and you're like, yo, this is probably, like, you know, from where I'm from, literally nobody has seen this, nobody even knows about this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, on the one hand, it sounds, like, cool, but on the other hand, you know, imagine back then you sit on a ship. I don't know, it just seems... Like, that's all you did. Just sit on a ship. No, it just seems like a very disgusting endeavor. Let's put it that way. Like, there's not great hygiene and stuff. There's no technology. Well, it just seems overall like it would be not that nice. I would rather sit here and deal with the, like, explored world.
You're dealing with plague. No, but I mean, back then they didn't know that it could be better. That was already the best it could be, probably. So,
yeah.
I guess if you were born in that day and age, it would have been, you know, if you're an explorer, just go out there like a hobbit.
From that POV, I agree with you. But from modern POV, I would never. I would just...
Oh, no.
I would hang out.
Yeah, I mean...
In Europe.
You would never? Bruh, I always dreamt of having rabies.
Well, luckily, rabies is not something you just get on a ship.
Well, I'm gonna find a way. But anyways, let's
just take
keep
a rabbit raccoon with you. Okay, well, so back to Henry Hudson, Mr. Henry. His early life is not really known, but it seems from general reports, I guess, is that he was just involved with ships from a young age onwards. So he was just generally experienced with sea stuff.
Was he a pirate?
No. He was an English sea navigator and explorer in the 1600s, according to my notes. And furthermore, it says, quite the pioneer indeed. No, he is quite the pioneer. He made some, I don't know if he was the very first, but he made some pretty big voyages, which were the starting point for several colonial ambitions, let's put it that way. I'll get to that in a second.
We love a bit of colonialism.
First, I want to talk briefly about the Age of Discovery. So, 1607 to 1611 is when these voyages took place, which is in the Age of Discovery, which was around from the 15th to the 17th century. So, these discoveries took place in the early 17th century. So, towards the end of the initial Age of Discovery, let's say. So, the start of colonialism.
The grand finale.
And that in the Age of Discovery, so many countries were looking for new trading goods, new trading routes as well to Asia, for example, and, you know, paths to spice trade. That was started by Spain and Portugal, but in the later stages was followed also by France, England, and the Netherlands, the latter of which are two main players in today's story.
Oh, there's multiple players. I love a playing field.
Okay, so new goods were being exchanged between America and Europe, which resulted in, well, just exchange of, like, different species in continents, but also spreading of diseases, etc. And, of course, the Age of Discovery, unfortunately, was also one where there was a lot of slavery. Henry Hudson here was one of the many explorers around his time that was doing voyages, looking for passages. And, like, he wasn't going in completely blind on his voyages either. Like, he had information from previous trips to use. For example, he was going north towards Greenland, and he already knew stuff from Greenland based on previous voyages. So, you know, it's not like he went in blind, but he still, like, he knew what to expect, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so he was, well, what you're saying is he wasn't a green swashbuckler. He was experienced on the sea, and he, well, allegedly was, you know, well, if he's on this podcast, I guess he got lost, right? But,
yes.
But, he shouldn't have been, is what you're saying.
No, because the disappearance is very logical, let's say. So I'll leave it at that for now, but
okay.
I'm just saying, like, he wasn't like a grassroots pioneer like some Christopher Columbus might be, you know? I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm taking him down a peg right now. Henry Hudson, cool it, buddy. You're not that cool, all right?
Yeah, fuck you.
All right, now to get more to what he was working on, essentially, for most of his life. He was looking for a northwest or northeast passage, which, if you have your Google Maps open...
I have, yeah.
And sorry to the listeners, I will try my best to describe this. Is when you, from, like, let's say, starting point England, try to... go north through the Arctic Circle, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Past, like, the coastlines of northern Canada or northern Russia to get into the Pacific Ocean to reach Asia. So that was the goal.
Oh, so basically reaching Asia through North Pole, basically.
Yes, like exactly. So they wanted the Atlantic to Pacific connection through the North Pole, basically, yeah. Which... sounds easy, but it's not. Maybe it doesn't sound easy.
I bet. It does not sound easy, but I guess they didn't know that.
Yes, that was actually the cause of many of these missions, is because there were struggles along the way. So, he worked for different nations and companies as an explorer. He worked for the Dutch East India Company, for the British East India Company, for the Virginia Company of Plymouth, but I think they are not involved today, and the Muscovy Company of England, which I think is kind of a funny name, but you know,
quite the CV he has.
Yes. So he did one exploration. One of his first explorations was for the Muscovy Company of England. They were looking for a northeast passage. And I do have to add that I checked multiple sources and it wasn't quite 100% sure what he was looking for every time. So I think, as far as I understand, this first mission was for a northeast passage. So past Russia into Asia. So he worked for them to establish the trading route for the English, it was back then, to get to Asia, get that route started. So they have, like, basically the easiest connection to Asia, because Portugal, the way Portugal and Spain were doing it, was like around Africa and past like South America into Asia, which is a lot longer of a voyage.
That is quite a long way.
Yes. And at the time, the Dutch were also trying to establish the same thing. So they were quite the competitors. Their plan was they were going to wait for the summer in expectations that the North Pole ice would melt. So they could go past it during that time window and reach Asia. So they went for the voyage. They found multiple spots in Greenland, also helped based on his information. They found a couple of other islands, but they essentially could never make it because the ice didn't melt. So it really, that simple, the ice didn't melt. So
Hit them with the old 1-2.
But what they did find was a lot of whales, which would later become a nice little spot for whaling. So that's where a lot of countries went to kill whales.
Oh my god.
So rather unfortunate, really, but I guess for him, he didn't come home empty-handed. Then, I think this is where it gets kind of funny. In 1609, so 1 year later, he worked for the Dutch instead, trying to find the same thing. So he went to the main competitors. But he didn't quite follow instructions, let's say.
What were the instructions?
To find the northeast passage. So he tried to do it again. He failed again, because there was ice again.
Big surprise, but okay.
So instead of, like, continuing the search or heading back, he said, fuck it, we're going west. Because apparently in Amsterdam, I think it was, he heard rumors that there was also a possibility for the Northwest Passage, so past Canada. So he said, fuck it, we're going west. And then he ended up exploring a lot of the Northeast American coastline. If you're on your Google Maps again.
Yeah, yeah.
He first explored around Delaware. And then in that general area, went north up until New York, or modern-day New York, and went up, which river, can you guess?
Hudson?
Exactly. He went up the Hudson River as one of his main explorations, and that's also one of the reasons why it's called Hudson River, or it's probably the reason it's called Hudson River, is 'cause Henry Hudson.
Oh, that's actually a nice piece of information I did not know. Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
How far did he go up? Because Hudson River ends at some point, no? Doesn't
he went up until Albany, from what I read. So that's also why Albany is there, presumably.
Oh, he went really far inland. Holy shit.
Yeah, he went for it.
Just for listeners at home, he basically went up the length of, what is it? If you take the equivalent of, let's say, 2 full states.
I mean, that kind of depends how you look at it, because Massachusetts and Connecticut are a pretty small state.
I was...
But, yes.
Whatever.
Well, fuck it, let's see. I'm going to click New York.
I am looking at that, and it's 2 states, Massachusetts and Connecticut.
Yeah, but how, like, how much, what's the kilometer distance? That's... Here we go. Oh, God.
Okay, see, he was halfway?
It's 173 miles. Why is this in miles?
Okay. It's like halfway to Toronto. No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
I was thinking of like triangulating it, but it isn't. It's inland. A lot inland. Let's put it that way. He went inland, basically up down the bayou, this side of Mississippi. My guy was an explorer, all right?
Yes. He went about, this should be easier, 240 kilometers. There you go.
Yes, there you go.
That's about how much he went. So that's quite the distance on a river, inland. He traded for stuff there. And that also, this trip ended up being the basis for the Dutch to start the like their trade in North America and also set up the New Netherlands and New Amsterdam in what would later become New York.
Did you know that allegedly they paid $27, I think, the equivalent for the land for New York City?
$27?
Yeah, apparently. Or something like that. It was a very not a big amount of money.
That's a decent investment.
Yeah, I guess. No, allegedly the story goes that the Dutch were like, yo, we did give you this money, and I think the natives at the time were like, oh, they're gonna like lease their, you know, the land, so they're gonna keep paying this. But the Dutch were like, wait, right. No, we paid it once, we have the land, bye.
Yeah, I mean, these were like, by all intents and purposes, these guys were not nice to the natives, let's put it that way. I remember, I don't know exactly on which mission it was, but they tried to do trade, they didn't accept, they just hung around for a while they repaired their ship, and then they went and raided the village of the Native Americans and killed them. So, you know.
Goddamn colonizers.
Yeah. Also, on the return back from this voyage, he stopped in England, and then the entire English crew was arrested because, well, you know, they're working for the direct competitors.
Oh my god.
But they still, like, sent the info. So I guess the English probably checked the information and then sent it to the Netherlands after that. So, but they were not allowed to work for Dutch ships again. Because, yeah, they were direct competitors for this kind of stuff.
Jesus Christ. Politics, man.
So then we get to our beautiful mission.
Finally, and I will
explain this, and then I will ask you a question.
Can't wait.
So, in 1610 to 1611 was the mission of his disappearance.
Woo!
The disappearance itself is not very mysterious. Like, there is a report about how it happened, let's say. But what happened to him is unknown.
Okay.
So, once again, he went on a trip, this time in the explicit idea to look for the Northwest Passage. So not the Northeast anymore this time. The mission really was the Northwest Passage.
My homie never gave up. He had a dream and he was like, yo, fuck North Pole, I'ma go through you at some point.
So he was looking for the Northwest Passage, this time on behalf of the British East India Company. He went more south than Greenland this time, and he ended up near Labrador. So this is when you can check your Google Maps again.
Labrador
is northeastern part of Canada, closest to Greenland. So he found that, and then he sailed north past it, thinking that this was indeed the Northwest Passage. Instead, he went through the Hudson Strait to the Hudson Bay. So that's what they found. And you can guess why they're called Hudson Strait and Hudson Bay.
Goddamn Hudson.
As you can also maybe see on Google Maps, is that right next to the, like, after the Hudson Strait, on the south side is the Hudson Bay. Mm-hmm. But on the north side is also the Northwest Passage, essentially.
Oh, that's true!
But they did not end up going this direction.
Oh my god, so the homie just took a wrong turn.
Yes, He went left, or south, I guess, dropped into Hudson Bay, and just ended up exploring that for most of 1610. Which also turned out to be a very fruitful endeavor, might I say. So it definitely was not a useless mission. They did a lot of trade. And I think this also set up past the future colonialism or trading stuff from the English, basically. But so they wanted to find the Northwest Passage. They found Hudson Bay instead and just made the best out of it there. And this is where I will briefly pause to ask you the question. Mm-hmm. How many locations do you think were named after Henry Hudson? And
okay, a little tease for the next episode. I have the same question for my explorer to you.
I will say this is only like geographical locations, so aka like a river. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is not buildings, although there are also many buildings named after.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Okay.
Keep in mind, we discussed some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah. So it's only geographical locations. I would say, let's go for... Wait, it has to be more, right? So I'll go 11.
From what I found, it's 5.
Never mind me.
I mean, I think this is just...
Isn't there a Hudson Pond somewhere in Canada? Probably is. You just don't know about it.
Probably, but this is more like the major, let's say. The bigger.
Rigged. This was rigged.
Okay, I'm sorry that I didn't go to Canada and personally check. I will take responsibility for that.
But so what are the locations?
It's Hudson Bay, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. North Canada. Hudson Strait. Northern than that, Canada. Hudson River in New York, USA. Hudson County in New Jersey, USA.
Oh, goddamn, okay.
And the town of Hudson in New York in New York State. That's also,
kind of things that I should have known, I think.
Maybe. I mean, the town of Hudson is next to the River Hudson. So it's near Albany. Actually. Alright. Then let's get to the final part of the story and then the discussion, let's say. Then, in 1611, their ship got stuck in ice. Gosh darn it. But that was in the Hudson Bay. So they said, hey, let's camp on land. Hey! And so they did. And then after a while, when it got unstuck again, Hudson said, hey, let's continue the exploration. So check more of Hudson Bay and also let's continue looking for the Northwestern Passages. And then the crew said, how about no? Because they wanted to go home. Because, you know, it was quite the exploration indeed. It's quite understandable. So what happened was a mutiny where Hudson, our good friend, was on the losing side. So indeed, the mutiny succeeded. I don't know if that's like a proper way to say it, but...
Yeah.
So Hudson and several others, which were either sick people or people that sided with Hudson, were put out of the ship into what is called a shallop. I don't know. Shallop? Yeah.
It's a boat, right?
It's a small boat. Like, essentially, it's like a mini sailboat used to explore the coastlines that they were exploring from the ship. Mm-hmm. Like, as a like small connector, let's say. So they were put into that. But to be fair to the good mutineers, they did give them plenty of supplies, like clothes, food, weapons even, and other essentials. And then they put them out, and they started to go home. But Hudson, our good friend, was not quite ready to give up yet. So, in their shallops, they set out to follow the main ship. And it was actually they were keeping up for a while.
Oh, wow.
But after, at a certain point, like, the mutineers, like, opened the big sails, at which point it's essentially impossible to keep up.
They were like, look at this dude, look at this dude, hit the fifth gear.
That's kind of how I saw it described as well. Like, they were tired of the cat and mouse thing, and they were like, all right, bye. So, that's the point. So, they sped off, and Hudson and company were never seen again.
Oh, and that's it.
Yes, but one footnote is that since only the mutineers survived to tell the tale, the people only have their records. So the story is quite one-sided. So, you know, maybe they didn't give them plenty of supplies. But according to their story, they gave them plenty of supplies. Also, an interesting detail is that in that story of the mutineers, the main two people that started it were dead before they came back to England. So that was, it's presumed that that was a way to deflect blame off of the survivors. Because mutineering is, like, illegal.
Yeah,
it's considered piracy. So, hey, maybe they were pirates, technically. But, and they were arrested when they got back to England, but they were never, like, punished, let's say, because they had all this information on Hudson Bay and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. That's where we're left off. So, Hudson put in a shallop with presumably enough gear. That's all we're left with.
Well,
for the disappearance.
I know exactly what happened as usual.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah, yeah. Why, or at least, you know what? I know somebody who does.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you heard about the Greenland sharks?
The Greenland sharks? I have not. Is this real? Or this sounds like this a sport is... team.
No, this is real. So Greenland sharks is a little trivia for people. I believe that that's what they're called. They are the species of sharks that live around Greenland, like in the waters there, right? So presumably very cold waters. But because of this, they literally have a species evolved to live just like tortoises for hundreds of years. Like, as far as I know, there has been a record of a Greenland shark living more than 300 years.
Oh, they're just very, like, long-living creatures, is what you're
very
saying.
Very long-living creatures. So,
God damn, these guys are ugly.
Well, don't shit on the sharks. Well, anyways, so that means that there were probably some of those fishies around when this happened. So, if we would somehow learn how to communicate with those sharks, we would know the full story. Because there is still, at least, you know, that must have been one generational change, actually, between the sharks for this to still be passed as a good story.
Right.
So the sharks know what happened. But when it comes to our dear friend Hudson, well, you know what? So you said it's a cat and mouse game, right? I think. Because he wasn't an idiot, right? Well, he may have had a wrong turn here and there. But I think he was not an idiot. He just tried to use the physics. He was trying to, like, go... You know the thing that the ship, the big ship, is just probably, like, you know, hitting the big waves at the front and then leaving a trail behind with, like, you know...
He was trying to slipstream the boat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was actually just using the physics. And then the homies, the mutineers, were like... They weren't actually tired. They were like, oh, shit, dude, smart. Let's actually hit the fifth gear to get rid of him because he's too smart for us.
Isn't it destructive to ride in the wake of a different ship? Or is that only when you're, like, at the side of it?
I don't think at the very end it's, like, I don't think that at the end part of the ship it's destructive. Oh, nowadays it is because they have propellers, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it probably worked differently back then anyway, yeah. I was just wondering, yeah, go ahead.
Well, what else is there? I mean... He also could have just found, like, one of the still surviving mammoths and just got impaled.
So, up in Canada, the mammoths were still hanging out?
I mean, Siberia or up in Canada, somewhere there, probably.
Hmm. They must be very well hidden if we can't find them.
Well, I don't think anyone, we could be the first ones. Go out and look for a woolly mammoth.
I mean, we definitely wouldn't be the first ones. But I like your sentiment. Maybe next year's vacation, we'll call it the Henry Hudson trip. To be really original with the naming. And we go out and look for, woolly mammoths. In the Hudson Bay or around the Hudson Bay?
Well, I don't think they can swim for that long, that much, but surround it. I would say somewhere in, how do you pronounce this upper state of Canada? Nunavut?
Yeah, I think it's like an Inuit name. I had the same thought yesterday.
They have Queen Elizabeth's Islands?
I mean, you surprised? There's also a Prince Charles Island, which is kind of outdated at this point. Stupid Canadians.
Oh no, I know what happened. You know, this is already, I think this episode is going to come out in the spooky season, right? In October. Going on that trip, actually, when was the original legend of Davy Jones first recorded?
Davy, wasn't that the pirate guy?
He was, the Flying Dutchman, right?
I have no idea. I'm not familiar with pirate lore. Sorry.
Freaking, I googled Davy Jones, which age? 66 years. Nice.
Well, there you have it, Rudy. That's all we need to know.
I think it's literally as old as time. But, okay. At that point, I think Davy Jones' legend of the Flying Dutchman was around, right?
Okay.
As the spooky season, the ghost ship, he's been around for a while. As a ghost captain, you at some point you get tired, even if you're, undead, right? So, you probably be like, yo, I just want a piece of my own, kind of a big pond to just play around with, but I don't want to deal with piracy anymore. As in, it's just tedious and tiresome. So, I'm like, look at the Hudson Bay. It's basically its own small sea, but kind of inland, really closed off. Nobody's explored it before. He's like, yo, let's get it. I have a ghost ship. I don't care about the ice. Let's get it. Then this Hudson dude comes around the corner.
Ooh,
and he's
like this.
Wait, what are you doing in my swamp? But he waits, because he has grown some class. He himself has been, as far as I know, Bornham legend. He was a gentleman, just fell in love with the sea, blah, yada, 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 yada. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I'm going to wait. Let's see. Maybe this dude, And that's what happens with the big ship, that the mutineers actually go away. But he's like, wait, what is that shitty boat at the behind of the big ship? What is that there? And then he's like, okay, they're getting away. But wait, didn't catch up. Probably stopped somewhere in my Hudson Bay. No, I won't have this. Bye. So there you go. Davy Jones
killed
Hudson.
Because he was left behind.
Yes.
I like that. But you said he was just hanging out in Hudson Bay?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that he was also looking for the Northwest Passage.
No, I think because Davy Jones kind of is the sea himself from the legends, as far as I know, I think he would know. Oh, maybe he was actually like...
Oh, he was protecting the secret.
Oh, yo!
Because Hudson still wanted to go. Maybe what happened is after the mutineers, got rid of him, he was like, all right, we're not going to be able to chase them. Let's fucking keep going. Look for the Northwest Passage.
Yo.
And then Mr. Jones himself said... I'm going to stop you right there, kings, and kill them for it.
Yeah, and then he fed Hudson to the Kraken.
To the Kraken.
Who is chilling in Hudson Bay? Greenland sharks, right. It's all connected, man. It's the same species.
They know what happened, but they just don't want to tell us. That's the thing.
Because they're still afraid of Davy Jones, who lives in Hudson Bay. Oh, my God.
Exactly. I can't believe it. Those goddamn Greenland sharks.
But we are, okay. So, what? Let's hear the end of what you have to offer.
Wait, I just wanted to say something as well.
Okay.
Is he had a lot of equipment, right?
Yeah.
Let's say these mutineers are actually telling the truth. They didn't just fucking dump his ass in a boat and actually gave him the equipment. What could he have done with that? Like, he had enough weapons.
Against ghosts on a ship, shoved it up his ass for all I care, because they are ghosts. What weapons will do to them?
Right, this story just ends the exact same way, because...
Because, I mean, it doesn't matter because it's right, ghosts. Man? He just whooshes his sword, and Davy Jones is like, gotcha.
Yeah, no, I was just more thinking, what if they went inland, right? They anchored back. They have their equipment, so they, you know, they're ready to do some shit, basically. So they went inland, and then... Were the Inuits around already? This might be an origin story.
I actually don't know, but what if the dudes who were pissed off about New York were like, yo, from our neighbors in Quebec up there, yo, we heard that you guys actually stopped here. Let's go across the freaking Canadian, like, well, back then it wasn't Canada, but like a Canadian land and be like, yo, dead.
So either, actually, here's an interesting tidbit, not related to this exploration, but when he was hanging out in the Hudson River, the French were also exploring something within 100 miles range, but they didn't know of each other. So, you know, that what you're saying could, you know, could have happened. Maybe they saw the French... We're hanging out in Quebec and we're like, wait a minute here.
It's so easy then. Look. It's he was contracted by the British, right? At the moment.
Yes.
It's been story longest time. British hate French, French hate British.
Right.
They saw each other like, oh, look at that. Fuck you.
And to get rid of them, they called their friends Davy Jones out in the Hudson Bay, who managed to make him sink.
Ah, merde, this seems like a job for Davy Jones.
That accent kind of trailed off at the end there. All right. Well, to conclude, like you told me to do, there were searches for him 1 year later, and I want to say like 50 or 60 years later was the next one, but... Nothing was ever found. Nothing else is known.
Because Davy Jones made sure of it.
And watch out, little kids, because if you don't behave, Hudson might come out from under your bed.
Goddamn so, yeah. Greenland sharks. Keeping their silence. Honestly, the best secret keepers in the world. They won't spill the tea. You know it.
It's pretty fucked up that you live for 300 years, but you're not willing to share anything, you know? Also, can I just say, what kind of quality of life does a shark have after like 250 years?
Probably like, literally swimming around with its mouth open, hoping something will like swim in.
Yeah, it just seems so pointless. I wonder if there's an aquarium that has a Greenland shark.
I don't think any aquariums, at least nowadays in modern world, are allowed to have specific like sharks bigger than your, I don't know, like a tiger shark or something, because they literally can't like. Well, you know the story of example that a shark will never outgrow its habitat.
Oh.
And because of that, sometimes they just won't survive. So, for example, you will never see a great white in an aquarium because it's literally like they need such a big environment to like, you know, patrol around that it's impossible to build an aquarium like that, and if you would put one in, like, it would just die.
Right. But there are like orcas in SeaWorld, right? In America.
Yeah.
Have you seen that before?
Yeah, isn't that
also kind of the same thing though?
I mean, I think I've seen orcas somewhere else here in Europe too. But I guess they just don't need that much there must be some reason why sharks cannot and orcas can be.
But orcas are, like, also sharks, right?
Whoa. I think it has to do something with the fact that all of those big fish that you see, like orcas or beluga whales, they don't actually have gills, right? They're still air-breathing creatures.
Oh, okay. I see what you might be saying. Yeah, okay.
There must be something to do with that, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Same but I just want to put it out there. If you're an orca and you're listening to this, rise up, buddy. You don't deserve this shit.
Yep,
you deserve to live in the ocean.
Yeah, but give some slack to the seals. You guys are pretty brutal against them.
Yeah, well, seal them later. Hey.
on that good pun, it's time to finish this episode.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Rudy, would you like to plug your Instagram? Because you have...
Oh, yeah, right. My Instagram's on this spooky season. Let's get me some spooky likes. So it's 000RUDYS000. So 3 zeros, Rudy's 3 zeros. I will be waiting. This sounded like a freaking hot moms in your area ad.
I will be waiting indeed.
And all right. Henry, do we have by this point already a Twitter? By this point, I mean somewhere in October, huh?
Do you really want me to make a Twitter for this?
What if people want suggestions or just shit on us? We need some critique, don't you think?
I mean, we could open an email for that.
Oh, shit. And you know what? On that, I will end the episode here. Bye!
Bye!